This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Yes, it is that time of year. It's the Road to Champaign, the high school football playoff preview show. And today's Road to Champaign show is brought to you by the Cubby Hole in Carlinville, by Area Diesel Service in Carlinville, Kibbles and Clips in Carlinville, Gazda Insurance Agency in Carlinville, by Sloan Implement Company in Carlinville, and by First National Bank of Raymond, Girard, Pawnee, Morrisonville, and it's bad, but I cannot, is there, there's another one, I know
Verdon.
That. Verdon, that's Verdon. It. I knew it. I knew it was a North Mac school, I cannot remember it.
Verdon, Girard, David Jenkins, thank
yes,
you very
I'm David
much.
Jenkins, that's Tim Mize, we also have Terry Tote. Saving my butt is...
Well, that's what Terry does. That's what Terry does. He saves us all yes. on a daily basis. It is the Road to Champaign. Yes. We're glad you're along with us. And no disrespect to DeKalb, but I have a feeling for the kids, there's something a little more special about
sure.
the Road to Champaign
sure.
and playing at U of I
yeah.
than at Northern.
Yeah.
No, no, actually, when you get to Northern, it's fantastic.
Oh, it's cool. And especially with all the renovations that they're going to be doing at Memorial Stadium, and they've already done a lot of renovations at Memorial Stadium, but Road to Champaign just sounds a little bit more, it flows.
Not the same winning tradition that's at DeKalb, though.
It's not, well, but the last two times it's been at DeKalb, we've had area teams there.
Yes, we have.
Staunton and Auburn
mm-hmm.
a year ago. So will we have a team in the area make that deep run up to Champaign the day after Thanksgiving? We're going to find out starting on Friday. Yeah. And as far as the WSMI area teams are concerned, it's a bit strange, guys. No 1A and 2A teams for us to cover this year.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's
it's new.
Head-scratching, I think, is probably as good a word as any. A lot of 3A teams.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, basically everything we're covering is 3A, so... and boy, and that is that bottom half of the bracket loaded.
Well, the coaches weren't lying either. They said there was going to be
a
couple of 8-1 teams facing off. They weren't wrong. It's happening because Pena is playing Marshall, and both of those schools are 8-1.
Yeah.
When you think about Pena, about week 6, week 7, they were undefeated.
Yeah.
Look, they were cruising, and now they're playing an 8-1 team in the first round of the playoffs.
But at least they get them at home. You know, that's the good thing. At least they got them at home.
You could make the argument that that changed the whole outlook of that South bracket. Because if Payne is undefeated, they won the conference outright.
Yeah.
A couple of those other teams get bumped down.
Sure.
Maybe Carlinville's playing like a Tolono as opposed to an East Alton Wood River or something like that.
That's right. And, of course, the two main conferences for us, the South Central and the Sangamo, both had three teams at 8-1. As far as the playoffs went, Carlinville is the South Central champion and North Mac is the Sangamo Conference champion. And let's get right in to, I think, the 3A bracket first, and we got a lot of action in 3A.
Right. If you go to the bottom half of the bracket, which is where our local teams are, you've got Auburn, which is the number 16 seed. And I tell you right now, this is the best number 16 seeded team in the state, especially in 3A. You seeded Auburn 16th? Are you crazy?
Yeah, defending state runner-up.
Well,
too.
You know, well, it's just, you know, the program,
yes.
the legacy of the program. So Auburn at 5-4 is playing at number one Newton, a top seed at Newton. Newton is undefeated at 9-0. And I've talked to a couple of coaches today, and we got onto this conversation. I said, don't be surprised if this is a 16 beating a 1.
There,
it wouldn't shock me.
Not that it happens every year, but a lot of years, a 5-4 will beat a 9-0 in the first round, and Auburn is that type of 5-4 club.
Obviously, you would like to be on the home or have a better seed, but do you think Dave Bates is maybe loving to thrive in this spot as the 16 seed?
Hey, You play with the hand that you're dealt.
Sure,
this
sure.
is the hand that they're dealt, and the experience and brilliance of Dave Bates will absolutely help Auburn in this ball.
And think about where they started. They were the number one ranked team in the class at the beginning of the season. Yeah. Now they're the 16 seed in 3A. So,
but they made it.
They're in. That's
they're
all
in.
That matters.
That's
they're
all in. That matters.
They're arguably
in.
The most dangerous 16 seed in the entire tournament.
And they'll play at Newton at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Right below them, Marshall. This is your 8-1 matchup here, Dave. Marshall and Pena. Be playing at Pena Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock in a matchup of 8-1 schools. And boy, how many coaches did we have last Saturday tell us on the air? Well, you're going to see 8-1 teams matched up. Well,
they pegged it.
They did. Then in the bottom half of the third section of the bracket that we're looking at, Carlinville at 8-1, the overall number 4 seed, gets 13th seeded East Alton Wood River at home Friday night at 7 o'clock. And that'll
be a broadcast feature.
That'll be our broadcast feature on WSMI FM 106. And right below that, you've got 12th seeded Hillsboro at 6-3 playing at number 5 Williamsville. The Bullets are 8-1. That'll be a Saturday 1 o'clock game. A game we'll have on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. So, as you go to the game 13, 14, 15, and 16, the bottom four games in the bracket there in 3A. You have Cesar Valier at Mount Carmel. That's number 15 at a number 2 seed. Valier is 5-4, Mount Carmel 9-0. Right below them, Vandalia, a number 7 seed at 8-1, will play host to Tolono Unity, which is a number 10 seed. They're 7-2. That's a 7-2-8-1.
That's a powerful 7-2 Tolono team. Remember, Tolono, that's who knocked North Mac out in the second round last year.
Yeah. They are the state runner-ups as well, Tolono is.
And they're always very, very, very good. That's a 2 o'clock game on Saturday afternoon. Then the Panthers of North Mac, the champions of the Sangamo, at 8-1 will play host to a 14th-seeded Beardstown team. Beardstown 5-4. North Mac is a third seed. And that's a 1 o'clock game Saturday afternoon. You'll hear it on WSMI FM 106.1. And then the final game in the bottom half of the bracket has Fairfield, a number 6 seed, playing host to number 11, Anna Jonesboro, on Saturday afternoon. So that's the bottom half of the bracket, and that's where all of the action is concerned as far as we're concerned.
It's all in 3A.
Yeah, it's terrific. It's
well, if you look at the top half of the 3A, it's like there's, I think, 6 9-0 teams.
Well, you know, you've got the top-ranked team in the state, Elmhurst Catholic, IC Catholic, playing host to St. Joe Ogden, which is...
That's a dangerous 5-4 team there.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of a Tolono Unity-type team there. You know, that's the same basic area and
same conference.
Same conference, yeah. Gosh, I used to broadcast games from there 40 years ago.
See, that's like Murrah Forsyth was in that conference last year, the Yocal Valley, before they came into the Sangamo.
Yeah. You also have, like, Wilmington, undefeated at 9-0. You also have Farmington that's undefeated at 9-0. Westville and Monticello, all 9-0s in the top half of the bracket.
So 5 undefeated teams in the top half.
Mm-hmm. In Class 3A. So.
Have fun.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, and the great thing about the IHSA football playoffs, and Tim, you mentioned this on Saturday, other states take a look at how the IHSA runs the playoffs. And, you know, the system of seeding, you know, they do the best they can. And there's no perfect system to it, but they do the best they can. They have a good system as far as the playoff points are concerned because they count the wins of your opponents, and I think that's a pretty good system. Mm-hmm. So you have to actually earn your way into the playoffs, and these teams have earned their way in, and, you know, that's a pretty good 3A bracket, I think.
It'll be a heck of a tournament.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a fun tournament. So.
We're going to get to a break here on the Road to Champaign. When we come back, we're going to talk with North Mac head coach Shane Owsley. We'll do that following these messages.
You know, sometimes that happens. We'll get that corrected. Like Jeff Fisher, we'll get it fixed.
Yeah, you'll get it fixed. That's right. The beauty of live radio. If only you could have seen it live like Terry and I did. The look on David's face when he had multiple audio sources going at the same time.
Hey. You see, I hit the open or the music bed, and then I guess it was still in auto, so the commercial started playing.
Yeah.
And then when I went to move my mouse, I accidentally clicked on one of the other hot buttons, and it was just, I got three different audio sources.
People listening at home have no idea what the blazes you're talking about.
That's exactly right.
Well, huh? You basically heard what was happening.
Okay, yeah, that's right. It was a calamity is what it was, but, you know, we recovered.
This is the Road to Champaign, by the way.
That's right.
In my struggles, I wasn't able to mention that.
That's the worst thing that happens to us tonight. We're going to be doing pretty good.
The night is young.
That's exactly right.
I stumbled into that sort of thing earlier today, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'd like to say I've never done that, but that would be a lot.
Not in the last 5 minutes, anyway.
That's exactly right. We'll be catching up with Shane Owsley in just a moment here on the Road to Champaign as the North Mac Panthers finished 8-1 on the year, the champions of the Sangamo Conference. They've drawn the Beardstown Tigers, who are out of the WIVC North this year. Beardstown at 5-4, but they were 0-9 last year.
And I think Beardstown was an independent team, or they were a non-conference opponent, that's what I should say, for a lot of these WIVC teams last year before they got into the conference.
And of course, Beardstown
serves me right. Maybe in a couple years ago.
Right. So. They're coming to North Mac to play, beautiful facilities at Beardstown. Their gymnasium, they host a lot of basketball sectionals. Fabulous facility.
Yeah. Beardstown, we went
Yeah, we've been there.
Yeah, yep. It's a good facility for basketball. Absolutely.
Brett Tekin and Steve Woolley don't want to talk.
They
don't like Beardstown.
Nah.
We like it a little better than they do.
No, they just didn't want Quincy Notre Dame playing here. That's all.
We don't need that. That was impressive. Joining us on the phone right now is Shane Owlsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers. And coach, thank you for a few minutes here on the road to Champaign. Have you slept at all since Saturday? You got us in utility, David?
Our microphone.
Is Shane on? Shane, can you hear us? A little bit of a technical glitch at the moment here. We'll see if we can get it ironed out. The beauty of the live radio. You never know what might happen on any given night here on the road to Champaign on WSMI FM 106. Our broadcast features coming up on Friday night. We will have Wood River at Carthenville. That game will be live on FM 106 at 7 o'clock. On Friday evening, and then on Saturday afternoon, we will have the Williamsville Hillsboro broadcast on AM 1540 and FM 106.9, and Beardstown at North Mac will be heard on WSMI FM 106. And we're going to get Shane Owlsley back on the phone here in just one moment's time, as we had a bit of a technical glitch, as they would say in the business. But we'll get Shane back on the phone. We'll be talking with Chad. You say, "Oh, Shane, can you hear me?"
Yes, I've got you.
Hey, there we are. All right, beautiful. Thank you for joining us on the road to Champaign, sir. And I asked you, you didn't hear, have you actually gotten some sleep since Saturday night?
A little bit. I got some sleep last night. We got the film exchange, and we got to look at it a little bit and break it down. So I did get a little bit, but there'll be plenty of time to sleep during basketball season.
That's exactly right. And so what were your first thoughts when you saw Beardstown was the draw?
I guess the big thing is it was just kind of exciting to see that the Sangamo teams aren't all going to be playing each other round one or round two. Again, we're very proud as a coaching staff and as a conference that we feel like we have one of the best conferences in the state of Illinois. And we felt like in the past, you know, in the recent past, that we've been knocking each other off before we could actually prove just how good our conference was. So it was finally nice to see. You know, the state kind of spread us out and let us kind of see what we can do against some of the other schools.
Shane Owlsley, the head coach of North Mac, joining us here on the road to Champaign. And what do you know about the Beardstown Tigers as of now, Shane?
They had a new coach this year that came from Waynesville. So we are very familiar with him and kind of the things that he likes to do. Out of all the teams in the state, it's interesting, Donnie Allen, our defensive coordinator, his brother is actually the defensive coordinator at Beardstown. So we are familiar with them. We have spoken, you know, quite a bit of football with them throughout the years. And, you know, they've got several good players. They're mainly lower class dominated. They've got one of the best freshmen that I think I've seen in a long time playing running back for them. Who looks very, very good and very fast. So they're going to be a team to reckon with, and I know they haven't been in the playoffs, you know, recently, so they're going to be excited to be there, and we're going to have to play well to compete.
Shane, how rare is it to see a freshman be that elite?
Well, I mean, it's something, obviously, that you don't see very often, but this kid's got some really, really strong attributes to him. I know last year I was kind of doing some research on him. He's a state champion in the long jump last year in eighth grade. He also won the high jump state title in eighth grade, and he was in the top five in the 100-meter dash. So he's just an all-around really good athlete. He plays receiver for him, and he plays running back for him. And he also probably has one of the best kicking legs that I've seen at a lower-level high school level. So he's a total package, that's for sure.
Well, and the good news is you get to have the opening round game at home. That's always good not to have to travel a long distance in a playoff game.
It is, and again, we travel very well, so had we even not gotten a home game, I feel like we would have had a home field advantage. But it is always nice to kind of be able to keep your routine, and that's one thing that the playoffs kind of switches up on you a little bit is playing those Saturday afternoon games. It does get kids out of a routine, so it is nice that our kids will get to sleep in their own beds and kind of go to bed at a normal time and wake up and know that we're going to be at the friendly confines when we go to play Saturday afternoon.
Shane, after taking a look at the tapes, who does Beardstown remind you of as far as a team that you've seen this year?
Well, I mean, for the teams that we've actually played this year, they don't remind me a whole lot of anybody. They run a lot of double wing and three back sets. They do remind me a little bit of what we saw with Chester last year. And I guess they do have some Athens attributes to them with a, you know, majority of running the ball. But, you know, and then defensively, they've kind of been all over the map from what I've seen. They've been in a 40 front. They've been in a 30 front. They've been in a 50 front. So, we don't really know what we're going to see other than, they're going to, you know, try and run the ball on us and, play action us a little bit. And then, again, we've kind of, our motto this whole year has kind of been, don't worry about who you're playing, take care of yourself. And again, when you don't have much film on a team, I feel that's even more important.
And I guess, Shane, in a lot of ways, with that scenario, North Mac is just going to do what North Mac does.
It is. I think there comes a point where all coaches, and especially myself, I'm seeing we sometimes try and outthink ourselves, and we try and put all these fancy gimmick things in and things that we feel are going to work against, you know, this week's opponent. And oftentimes, if we would have just stuck with what we do and what we've done that got us there, we'd probably be better off. So that's kind of been our mantra thus far, and hopefully it's going to continue that way for the rest of football season. Is we're just going to do what we do, and if that's enough to win, great. If not, then we're not going to try and reinvent the wheel by doing something different.
Of course, you're going to take care of the football side of things, but I can guarantee you that the Girard, Verdon, and North Mac communities and the surrounding area just absolutely excited and thrilled to have the playoffs, and the towns are buzzing, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they've been buzzing for the past 2 years and going into this year as well. You know, we've sold nearly 700 playoff shirts, and you know, I've already seen the text messages and the tweets going out about redecorating the town, which if you're coming from Springfield and you're going through Verdon or Girard, every telephone pole along the way already has stuff on it, so I can't think of what else they could possibly be decorating, but it seems like the word has gone out, and I'm sure it's going to be full tilt by the time Saturday gets here.
And Shane, one of the best things for you is it sounds like the weather is going to be a complete 180 from what it was last year in the first round.
I hope so. That was probably one of the most miserable games outside of us actually winning it that you could possibly be in. You get, I don't know how many inches of rain we had, but I just remember coming in after the game and wading through about ankle-high deep water in our locker room. So I imagine it would have been much worse had we not got the outcome that we did. But it'd be nice to have a nice sunny day and let the elements not have any role in who wins the game.
Shane, last question for you. You lost Kendall Bearden late in the season, but have you entered the postseason relatively healthy outside of that major injury?
Outside of Kendall, yeah, I would say for the most part. Obviously, after playing 9 weeks of football, nobody's completely healthy. We've got kids with some bumps and some bruises and some, you know, ouchies, but I think for the most part, we're going to be pretty good. We held a couple kids out of practice today for the simple fact of, you know, hopefully getting to feel better, and hopefully once that playoff game gets started or that excitement starts to get a little closer in the week, some of those bruises and bumps will go away, and we can focus on what's important, and that's playing a high-quality football team.
All right, going to be a lot of fun on Saturday afternoon. Shane, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and best of luck on the road to Champaign, sir.
All right, thank you, sir.
The head coach of the North Mac Panthers, and powerful club. Look out for them.
I tell you what, when they come marching onto the field through that end zone, playing that music they play.
Get you fired up?
Oh, I tell you, goosebumps. I'm telling you, it does. It's quite an interesting little entrance that they make. So yeah.
It's always good.
And there's going to be thousands of people there, and it's just going to be an absolute, great atmosphere.
It's always good when North Mac is competitive in football.
Oh yeah.
They've been around 7 years, and they've basically been competitive six of the seven.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah. So that's, you know, they've got a pretty doggone good shot there. I like their draw, to be honest with you. I think they've got a 14 seed Beardstown. They would face either, if they win this week, they either get Fairfield or Anna Jonesboro the next week. And AJ's an 11 and Fairfield's a 6. So, you know.
I don't know much about Anna Jonesboro, but based on what I know about the history of Fairfield, I would say North Mac has a pretty good shot, would have a pretty good shot.
But, you know,
they have to get past.
Coaches have to deal with,
right,
and with the kids, and you know, one game at a time. You cannot possibly be thinking, that's for broadcasters and sports writers,
right,
and
we can do that.
Yeah, we can do that.
The coaches of the 256 teams are thinking about one game, and one game only. It's like the basketball coaches in the NCAA tournament always say, you don't got to win six games in a row.
No.
You got to win one game in a row.
Six times.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly how you have to do it. And in high school football, it's five. The magic number is five. You do it five times, you're in the state championship game, and you win.
Well, I don't remember Dave Bates told us last year that it was the first time that he hadn't had turkey and stuffing on Thanksgiving. And he was never so happy not to have eaten it because he was busy. He was busy.
Yeah.
We'll be catching up with Dave Bates a little later on here on the road to Champaign. We do need to get to another break when we come back. Conversation earlier today, Terry Toad had with Carlinville head coach Chad Easterday. We will get to that following these messages on the road to Champaign.
Joining us on the road to Champaign, Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. The Cavaliers have a home game on Friday night against East Altonwood River. That's a matchup of the number 4-seeded Cavaliers versus number 13 East Altonwood River. And Chad, that's a pretty good draw in an opening round game for the Cavvies.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at just seeds in itself, but we were very fortunate. I think the way the seeds came down, there was a lot of us in a tie situation there, and it was going to come down to the wire there tonight and then and see which one we had. So, you know, obviously we're happy to get a home game. I think that always helps the first round.
I think, and that's what I was getting at, that you had a good draw. You had you were the conference champions, and that meant that you got a home game. And it's so good. Important in the playoffs because everybody starts 0-0 and you never know what's going to happen, but to get that first game at home where you don't have to travel, just a little bit of extra plus for a ball club.
Yeah, we actually have two pluses. The home game is just to keep your normal thing going on, and it to be Friday night, I think, even helps even more in that first round to make sure that everything's on the uppity up, and your routine that you've had the last 9 weeks is all the same. So it's always important for us to try to keep that type of, environment.
As you look back over the season, Chad, the Cavaliers had a terrific season. I think you would agree that you got a lot out of this ball club. Of course, coaches, I don't think, are ever happy with exactly everything that goes on. But you know, and you never should be, but you got to be very proud of this team.
You know, that's very well said. I think they have lived up to every expectation that they have set for themselves and that the coaching staff has set for them in terms of anywhere from depth to off-season, preseason, postseason here, hopefully. But all the goals they've set, and, you know, one of their goals was to be 9-0. I mean, that was a very big deal to our seniors. And when that didn't happen, a lot of things could have gone a lot differently. And it didn't. And we learned from it, and we just kept getting better after it, and I think as we look back, hopefully here, and hopefully can play a few more weeks, that we'll look back and say that might have been the most important week of our season.
And as you look back, and you go back all the way to the summertime, to all the activities that prepares you for this season, the you know, there's a reason you guys get together and do the weights and do all the conditioning and get yourselves ready for the regular season, and then because you want to be successful during the regular season and lead to week number 10.
Yeah, I mean, you and I personally have talked about this. Football is a unique sport, and it's not about games played. It's about preparation put in. And not to say that any sports are better than any other one, but it's unique in the fact that there is so much preparation and so much time and energy spent just to make it to a Friday night that there's a certain amount of mental preparation or toughness that comes with that. And this group of seniors definitely has that.
And you talk about toughness and you know, I'm going to the mental toughness aspect of this. Yes, you got to be physically tough, but boy, you got to have your mind on the game, especially when the second season starts in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's what separates the good ones from the not-so-good ones is how I like to say it in the locker room. So, you know, we've been fortunate enough to have some very tough mental squads the last couple of years. I think that has to do with the tradition at Carlinville, and hopefully we can keep that going here on Friday night.
Chad, one of the most profound things I think I remember you saying one day was the fact that you're just kind of taking care of the program right now. It's not really your program, but you're just taking care of it. And I think that's really a profound statement coming from a head coach who, you know, puts his heart and soul and everything into the program.
Well, I tell you what, I learned it from a lot of great coaches. Andy Easton's, I think, the one that said it first. Coach Borgini said it next, that, you know, we didn't build Carlinville tradition, but you're in charge of keeping it and upholding it. And I say that every year as we talk about the season and what goals. And we use the term, what stamp do you want to leave on Carnival football? And I think our kids have bought into that philosophy over the years. And, you know, we firmly believe in the reload system, not in the rebuild system. And, you know, it's just a great place to coach. And like we talked about Saturday, you know, the tradition in the community and the parentals and the students here are just a great atmosphere.
There's a buzz in school for a football game every Friday night, but there's a special buzz for a playoff game, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, there is. You know, once again, we don't want to single out any sport, but when you have to qualify to get in, I think there's certain expectation levels that just makes it a little more exciting. There's a little more hype. More people are coming because obviously it's not, you don't have a ton of games to pick from to go see. It's not like a conference schedule on a Friday night. So, you know, it definitely has an atmosphere, and I enjoy the Friday night games early on in the playoffs. I know they can't always happen because of travel and that sort of thing, but I think there's just something about playing under the lights that's important.
Chad, what do you know about East Dalton-Wood River? How do they stack up against Cavvies?
I'll tell you what, you know, they've put together, Coach Heron's put together a rebuilding type of year, and they've kind of excelled faster than what I think he thought, because they were, a couple years ago, were trying to get a few wins and not, but he's successfully put that together. You know, they have a great running back with Womack, is his name, number six, plays left wing for them. He's, you know, he's definitely a force that we're going to have to keep contained. I think, you know, they're 6-3 for a reason. I think they've got some good things. They got some good special teams. So hopefully we can put our best foot forward Friday night.
Who do they remind you of as far as a team in the South Central Conference?
I tell you what, you know, they remind me a ton of like a Hillsboro, you know, Southwestern type of kids that are, he stays within his system, it looks like to me, the film that I have on them. And, you know, he doesn't vary from it, which I have a ton of respect for. Coaches that jump around usually on offense and defensive philosophies usually aren't very successful. And he doesn't strike me as one of those guys. So I always worry about those things because, you know, if the head coach is doing that, then the kids are bought into that. So you have to be prepared, and we will be, and we'll see how it goes.
That was Chad Easton today, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. Hard to believe he's in his ninth year.
Yeah, yeah. Time flies.
Where's that time gone?
Yeah. But, boy, you got to like the Cavaliers draw.
You do.
I mean, you know, we talk about, it's all about the draw. Cavaliers, I think, have a good draw here. They're in four seed. They get to host number 13 East Dalton-Wood River. And should they win that game on Friday night, they would get the winner of the Hillsboro-Williamsville game.
If they win, they would either be home to Williamsville,
yeah,
or at Hillsboro.
Yeah, yeah. So, and, you know, playing on a Friday night, if you win on Friday night, you do get a chance to scout on Saturday.
And an extra day of rest.
Extra day of rest, yeah. So, and as Chad pointed out during the interview, he likes those Friday night games. He, you know, that's part of the routine. So some coaches... You know, so everybody has their own opinion.
Some coaches, when they get in the playoffs, like to play that first round game on Saturday, because after the first round, basically all the games are played on Saturday. But yeah, there's something about those Friday night games.
Yeah,
it's just different.
It's, you know, you're under the lights. It's just, and it, you know, it's part of the routine. It really is. So he pointed out that, you know, he likes to stick with that routine. So,
of course, that is in the class 3A bracket. And let's run down that bottom half of that 3A again, because we do have a lot of our area teams concentrated in the bottom half of 3A.
Well, you've got Auburn at Newton Saturday afternoon at 2, Marshall at Pena Saturday afternoon at 2, East Dalton Wood River at Carlinville Friday night at 7, and that'll be a broadcast feature on FM 106.1, and we'll stream that online at WSMIRadio.com. Hillsboro at Williamsville Saturday afternoon at 1, that'll be on AM 1540, FM 106.9. Beardstown at North Mac Saturday afternoon at 1 right here on FM 106, and Tolono Unity at Vandalia Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. So those are how our South Central and Sangamo teams stack up in Class 3A. So,
all right. And, of course, 1A and 2A, not a lot of area teams that we'll be following, but there is still a little bit of local flavor there.
Yeah, there's some local flavor there. Greenfield Northwestern will be at Brown County in Mount Sterling Saturday afternoon at 1:30. That's in the bottom part of the bracket. Greenfield Northwestern, the number 11 seed, in Brown County's number 6.
You ever been to Mount Sterling? You've been a lot of places. I've been there once for Mount Olive.
I don't think I've been to Mount Sterling.
I
do not remember going to Mount Sterling.
I grew up in the country on a farm.
Yeah.
And as I was driving to Mount Sterling, I thought, my God, where are we? What is this?
Is it anywhere near Hannibal, Missouri?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Brown County, yeah. You know.
No, it's not. It's not, it's not Pittsfield where okay. You take a right turn and you'll be in Hannibal on the stone's throw.
What about the Quad Cities? Is it up there?
You also have Pawnee playing host to Athens, and we have a chat with Tim Carterville, the head coach of Pawnee, coming up here in just a little bit. That's a Friday night game at 7 o'clock.
You said you liked Carterville's draw?
Oh.
Pawnees? Pawnee. Not so much.
And Pawnee has a
that's
very
tough.
With Athens being, even though Athens is number 10 seed, and at 6-3, they're playing a number 7 seed Pawnee at 7-2, but, you know, coming out of that Sangamo Conference, and
but
that's going to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, think about their losses.
Those are three quality losses right there.
Yeah, quality losses, yeah. Also, in the bottom part of the bracket, you have Warrensburg-Latham at Argentina Orienta Saturday afternoon, Toledo-Cumberland at Decatur-St. Teresa Saturday afternoon, Calhoun, as we move a little bit into the third part of the four-part bracket. Calhoun will be at Arcola, home of the Purple Riders.
Ooh.
Yes, the Purple Riders. Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, Calhoun a number 12 seed, Arcola a number 5 seed. Red Hill, number 13 seed, will be at Decatur Lutheran. That's number 4 seed, and that'll be a Saturday game. Carrollton will be at Camp Point Central. Saturday afternoon at 1, Carrollton's 9 seed, Camp Point Central an 8. Should be a great matchup there, a 6-3 versus a 7-2. And Oblong will be at Tuscola, one of your favorite places to go, Tim.
Oh, I love Tuscola. They'll have the scaffolding set up, by golly.
Yeah. Not cold enough, though, to be on the scaffolding.
It'll be a beautiful day for the folks up there this week. Oh, man. Mount Olive went up there. I don't know how. It's been a number of years ago now.
Well,
Don
Randy
DeBrino.
Went up there one week at, when your Prango did, and...
That's
it for me.
I don't remember if he went there first or if I think I went there first, and I said, I'm never going back there again. See you, Sid Randy.
He says, I'm never going back there either.
So hopefully nobody ever has to go back to Tuscola. Double-decker press box there.
Oh,
no press in it.
Yeah.
The Mount Olive film crew was up on the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
We were up on the scaffolding.
Yeah. What, three decks up?
Yeah.
It's just
in the wind,
show.
Right?
Oh, it was a brutal day. It was a brutal.
I remember you guys.
Show. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a museum. You can't actually touch anything or enter there. Just look at it.
Just enjoy it from afar.
Right. I had one of those. Carl DeBar and I had one of those experiences years ago when we went to Monticello. Big, huge press box full of food, nice and warm and toasty.
That'd make Carl happy.
We show up there and said, oh, by the way, you're going to have to climb on the handrails to get up on top of the press box. And I said, nah, we'll just go across and sit in the middle of the Hillsborough fans is what we'll do. And that's what we did.
That's a safer place
to be. And the Toppers won that night when the All-State kicker for Monticello missed a field goal late in the game. So
there you go.
Yeah.
So you were in the perfect place then.
I was in the perfect spot. still have a little bit of, I think, a couple of quarters saved on tape someplace. Yeah.
You never know what you might encounter when you go to a ball game, whether you're a fan, broadcaster, whatever. You just never.
And it was fun, you know, when you're sitting in the middle of the home crowd, you know, or the team that you're following. So because you really don't get to do that in football very often.
I mean,
you know, you just don't. But it was great. So.
What do we have for 2A?
In class 2A, I tell you what, let's get to a break first. Then we'll come back, we'll check Class 2A matchups around the central part of the state, and we'll do that as the Road to Champaign rolls on right after these messages.
7:43 on this Monday evening. Now back to the Road to Champaign High School Football Playoff Preview Show, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. And Friday night, our broadcast feature has Wood River at Carthenville. That'll be live on FM 106 at 7, streaming at WSMIRadio.com. Double header for you on Saturday. Hillsborough traveling to Williamsville. We'll have that with a 12:45 pregame on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And then Beardstown at North Mac here on FM 106 pregame.
12:45. Yeah.
We'll have
our normal noon hour news and everything up until about 12:45. We'll probably move the AMC to about 12:05 that afternoon.
Just okay.
for this Saturday. So, but we will have our news and stuff.
We'll have a conversation with Topper head coach Aaron Duff coming up in a moment. We do want to run down the Class 2A playoff matchups.
And the bottom half of the bracket here, Rushville Industry will be at Downs Tri-Valley. Downs Tri-Valley got the number one seed, and I believe they are the number one ranked team in Class 2A.
Defending champions, if I'm not
mistaken. I believe they are the
defending. At least they were in the title game.
Yeah,
Beat Auburn.
Rushville Industry is 5-4, a number 16 seed and a number 1 seed in Downs Tri-Valley, undefeated. That's a Saturday game. Number 9, Redbud at 7-2 goes to number 8, DuCoin. DuCoin 7-2 as well. That's a Saturday game. Flora, a number 13 seed at 6-3, plays at El Dorado Saturday afternoon. El Dorado is a 4th seed and 8-1 on the year. Moroa Forsyth, the Trojans, who just knocked off the Panthers of North Mac. Moreau Forsyth, 8-1, a number 5 seed, playing host to 12th-seeded Johnson City at 6-3. That's a Saturday afternoon game.
And with Moreau Forsyth in 2A, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they're in Champaign.
Yeah, don't be surprised if they're playing on the carpet in Champaign. On the very bottom part of the bracket in 2A, Carthage Illini West at 5-4, a number 15 seed at number 2, Mendon Unity. Mendon Unity is undefeated at 9-0. That's a Saturday game. 10th seed Shelbyville at 6-3, and number 7, Carmi White County at 7-2. That's a Saturday game. St. Thomas More out of Champaign drew a number 14 seed. They'll be at 3rd-seeded Hamilton West Hancock on Saturday afternoon. And 11th-seeded Sangamon Valley at 6-3 will take on Bismarck Henning at 7-2, and that'll be a Saturday game as well.
Every time I hear Carmi White County, I think about that game years ago when Carlinville went over there. That's one of the best playoff games I've seen. Carmel made like a 45-yard field goal at the end of the first half, but then they stuffed Carmel White County on a 2-point conversion to win the game. Mm-hmm. No time left on the clock.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That was a good ball game.
Good ball game.
That's when Don Borgini was still coaching the Cavaliers.
Yeah. And
he's been there twice with different schools. Because he went with Gillespie a few years ago, played on the brown turf.
They won there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes Carmi there. Yeah. That's a good place.
He's 2-0 on the field. At least 2-0.
It's a long way out, but hey, any coach, no matter what the sport, you'll drive 6 hours if you get the win.
Yeah, you better win after a drive
that. Yeah, right. That's a long drive home.
Well,
if you don't.
That Gillespie game, that was a game I think they turned the ball over 4 or 5 times and still won. Gillespie did.
Yeah, that's not the recipe you want normally going in.
No. But they were just that good.
That was a good club. Yeah. That was a real good club. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk with Hillsborough head coach Aaron Duff on the road to Champaign.
Joining us on the road to Champaign is Hillsborough head football coach Aaron Duff. And Duffy, congratulations on making the playoffs. I know this was the goal this year for the Hilltoppers to get those 6 wins, and by golly, you did it.
Yep, that was definitely a main goal for us. And we started off the season really strong, and we still played well here at the end of the season, played some good football teams, but we ended up 6-3 and we're back in, so we're pretty happy.
And in the end of the season there, the teams that you did play, 3 out of the last 4 are playoff teams from the South Central Conference. So even though that you came out on the short end of the stick score-wise, these are the types of teams you want to see heading down the stretch.
Yeah, preparing us for the playoffs, that caliber of football team. You know, like I said, we played Vandalia to an overtime loss. We played fairly well against Carnivale, and then we played a great first half against Pena this last week. We're getting prepared for the playoffs.
Tell us a little bit about the Williamsville Bullets, the team you will be facing. We'll be playing at Williamsville on Saturday afternoon. And, by the way, we'll have live coverage of that game on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Tell us a little bit about the Bullets of Williamsville and some of the challenges they'll present to the Hilltoppers.
Well, they play in a tough conference also, the Sangmo, and they play good competition, and they're 8-1. They have a very good running back from what I've seen on film, a Franklin kid. The quarterback can maneuver pretty well. They have a little bit of size and, some good skill kids. So they're going to be a prepared football team from their competition they played, and they're very similar scheme-wise from what we've seen. Actually from Pena and Carnivale, running, like some trips open, some spread stuff, and how they approach the game. So we'll it's nothing we haven't seen. We're just going to have to come out and play 4 quarters of football against them.
And Williamsville has a reputation of being in the playoffs frequently, and sometimes that can play with your mind, and you have to remember that this is a whole new season. Everybody starts out with an identical record.
Yes, you know, everybody's 0-0 right now, so it's a new season. They're a very good football team, well coached. It's going to be a challenge, but I like what we can do. When we put four quarters together, take care of the football, I think we can play with a lot of people. So we're going to have some fun this week, prepare for them, and get ready to go up on Saturday.
Duffy, talk about the strength of the Hilltoppers this year.
We've got more depth than we've had. Has helped to rotate some kids. We've got a little bit of size mixed in with we do have some skilled kids. We're not the fastest team out there, but we are more athletic than we have been in the past. And we can mix it up a little bit between going double tight and try to pound the ball to go into some spread stuff. We've actually ran quite a bit of spread this year where we can throw a little bit and mix it up.
Different weapons means more options and means it's much more difficult for a team to defend.
Right, yeah, you know, we're not just one-dimensional. We can throw the ball around a little bit. We got four or five guys we can use in the backfield, and they've done a great job for us. Worked hard, you know, all summer coming up this camps and everything, and it's paid off to get us those six wins.
It's always exciting to get into football season, and the season goes so fast. But what's it like at Hillsborough High School? What's it going to be like this week with the Hilltoppers in the playoffs? What's the atmosphere going to be like? What's going to be the chit-chat amongst the students?
Well, you know, it started actually last week. You know, they started selling the playoff T-shirts. You know, I've got, you know, people in the community asking me who we're going to play, you know, all that. It just gets more excitement going. I'm sure we'll have a little assembly or a pep assembly here at the school. You know, we're going to try to get a fancy bus for the kids. They get excited about that. And it's just a great atmosphere for everybody making the playoffs because, to me, football's special. Every other sport makes the playoffs every year. Everybody goes to regional. Those are the playoffs. But in football, you've got to get, you know, a magic number of six and have a great season to even have the ability to play beyond your regular season.
And even though Williamsville's really not that far away, it's a team you don't see, so it's a new challenge for the Hilltoppers and kind of an air of excitement seeing somebody you don't normally see.
Yeah, I mean, that you know, we were concerned, not concerned about who we would play, but we wanted to see somebody different. You know, we thought we'd have a great chance to play Carnville, Vandalia, or Payne again in the playoffs. And for the kids and their excitement, I liked for them to see somebody different. You know, you play on a Saturday, different atmosphere, and it's what it's all about for the kids.
What is it like? What's the difference on a Friday night versus a Saturday afternoon game? What's the mental aspect? What's the difference there?
Well, I mean, you do get an extra day to prepare for Saturday. Friday nights are great. It's what high school football is all about. But, you know, Saturday gives you just a little bit different feel. You got the sun out there now, no lights, and, maybe might have a chance for other people to get to the game, to come watch the game that can't get there on a Friday night. It's just a little bit different atmosphere, and it's something different for high school kids. It's always exciting for them.
More of a, I'm not going to say quite party atmosphere, but certainly more of a large event type atmosphere on a Saturday afternoon, it seems like.
Right. You know, you get more people like tailgating type stuff, showing up to cook food, all that kind of, you know, sort of college atmosphere, which is a little more exciting.
And that was Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers. They've drawn the Williamsville Bullets. That'll be a broadcast feature for us Saturday afternoon on WQSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9, pregame coverage at 12:45.
And as Duffy mentioned, you know, those three losses there late in the year, but what quality teams they came against. So, you know, that's you take away from that, you'll learn from mistakes. And, you know, Toppers got a tough draw, but, you know, don't count them out.
Hey, just find a way to get
in. Find
a
way.
Auburn found a way to get in last year. Yep. They wound up in the state championship game, and they found a way to get themselves into the dance once again this year. And joining us right now is the outstanding head coach of the Auburn Trojans, Dave Bates. And, Dave, thanks for joining us on the road to Champaign. Another playoff season for the Trojans.
Yeah, we did a great job Friday night. We're in, and we're happy.
Dave, you probably haven't had too many situations where you've been in week 9 at 4-4 and had to win to get in.
No, it's been a long time. But the kids responded, and we had a great game plan and played well.
Dave, when you look back on this year, it to me, it feels a little bit like last year, and you guys are better than your record. You had a lot of close ball games that just didn't go your way in the regular season.
Well, we did. You know, we had some things happen at the end of games, and, you know, we played well at times, and then right at the end we gave up the big play, and, you know, so we're hoping. We also, you know, after about the second week, had a lot of kids that were banged up and played probably two-thirds of the year without everybody with us. So it was kind of like a trial by error, and we got better, and now we have everybody back. So we're kind of hoping things will start to gel.
Well, we've seen this scenario before with other area teams, in particular the Staunton Bulldogs just a couple of years ago. And, you know, yep. It's a good time of the year to get healthy.
No, this is the time where you have to play. I mean, everybody right now is 0-0, so we just have to see what happens.
Dave, what do you know about your first-round opponent?
You know what? They have a running back that's really good. He has over 2,000 yards, and for his career, he has over 5,000 yards. And it's nothing fancy. If you watch any Big Ten highlights back with Bo and Woody, that's about what you would see.
Oh, boy.
And wow. It's the eye, it's power, won't counter tray. We've not faced anybody this year like it. I mean, it's like, here's what it is, and you stop it. And the kid's very good. I mean, he's a very good runner, not real big. Their line is big. We kind of think that our upfront people that will be good for us, so we'll see what happens.
Dave, how do you prepare when you're facing a pure power team in terms of the practice leading up? What can you do to get ready for that type of system?
Well, you know, it's a lot different than it used to be because you just don't see it very much. Mm-hmm. I mean, now we do a lot of the blocking schemes that they do. It's just they have two backs there. I mean, they have a fullback every time. They have a tight end every time. So it's quite a bit of a different look for your defensive guys. So you have to line them up, kind of walk through it, and then go through it like half speed and then speed it up. And that's kind of how, because we just don't see that very much anymore. But honestly, we've not seen it at all this year.
I mean, football really has gone to spread offenses to the max, so it certainly is a rarity to see just a pure power team. From your club's perspective, you have to like the fact that you're going to be healthy, obviously, but do you feel that your offense is going to be able to spread them out and move the ball up and down?
Well, I think our offense is getting better. Ben Johnson is doing a great job, and our Ryan McLaughlin is finally getting fully healthy, which I think limited him early. And our O line, we have everybody back. So we kind of feel good about ourselves. We played pretty well against New Berlin, so we'll see what happens.
And you've been in the playoffs, obviously, a bunch over the years, Dave, and it's one game at a time.
No, absolutely. it's kind of weird how it works out, you know. But you just have to keep plugging every week, and if you get on a roll, you got to take advantage of it, and that's kind of what happened last year, so we hope it'll happen this year.
Yeah. Hopefully you won't get turkey and dressing again this year, right, Dave?
I'm hoping so.
Dave Bates, the head coach of the Auburn Trojans, we always appreciate the time you give us, sir. Thank you so much, and best of luck on your road to Champaign.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Dangerous.
Go. Yeah, I'm telling you right
Dangerous.
Now. Dangerous. 16 versus 1, don't be surprised.
No, not at all.
Just looking.
You can't bet against Auburn.
No.
You can if you just feel like throwing your money away. By all means, do it if that's what you feel like.
Yeah, so. I mean, he's been through the wars a little bit. And
it really does have a feeling of last year's club, though, and that's probably going to serve them well just because they've been there. They realize, hey, we're in.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. That's, you know, you get in and then you take your chances. So.
Is this 19 straight years for them?
Oh, it's been long.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's like something like 19.
20.
20 years. 20 straight years. Yeah. And I think like 23 of 24, something like that.
Yeah.
He's been in the playoffs a lot.
Yeah.
Reload. That's what
they
do. Yeah, boy,
that's all it is. It's just reloading. Absolutely. You know, he's one of these guys that builds a program, and you know, there's an expectation when you come up as a freshman, and you know, you're around the guys that live this legacy, and that's how you build programs. It's how you build winning programs, programs that go deep into the playoffs year after year. So,
and that's what Auburn
does.
That's
what Dave is able to do. Great guy.
Oh,
great
fantastic.
Guy. Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. Love just talking to him. So,
this is the Road to Champaign on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. We've got more to do. We roll on with the Road to Champaign following these messages.
Joining us on the road. Champaign, Todd Hutchison, the head coach of the Greenville Comets. The Comets are back into the playoffs this year. Greenville will be on the road. They'll be playing at Columbia, and I believe that's a Saturday afternoon game. Is that not correct, Hutch?
Yeah, we're going to play it Saturday, and I know we talked about 1 o'clock. I don't know if that's been finalized, but Saturday at 1 is the plan, and it's going to be at Columbia, and we're excited to be back in. You know, last year wasn't very fun for us not being in the playoffs, and our seniors took that to heart, and you know, we got behind the eight ball a little bit with four big injuries in the first 4 weeks, but our seniors fought like crazy to get us back here, and it's an exciting time for us.
You know, when it comes down to playing in a Week 10 ball game, which means you're in the opening round of the playoffs, you have to look all the way back to the commitment that these guys have made, all the way back to the summertime and even before. You know, it's basically almost a year-round situation now for football players to be part of the program.
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's, you know, that's tough for coaches and kids and families and everybody, but it really is a huge commitment. And then when you start playing two and three sports, it gets even tougher. So, you know, you really got to work well with other coaches, and thank goodness we all get along and help with schedules. And you also got to, you also got to take the kids into consideration, realize they're kids and they have other things in their lives, especially in the summertime. So, you know, that commitment started maybe in junior Comet football and certainly as freshmen, and then it really is kind of a year-long commitment for some and mostly most in the summertime and through your weight room. And, you know, it pays dividends when you get, like you said, to Week 10. All that hard work pays off, and it really is worth it for the kids.
Even though you play at second-seeded Columbia and the Comets are seeded number 15, boy, I would never count Greenville out on a football playoff game. You just have kind of a gut feeling that, you know, you put the Comets out there on the field, they're ready to play.
Well, I hope that's true. We certainly do everything we can to prepare, and all the decisions we make, some people like them and some don't, but they're all made towards what's best for our program and for our individual kids within the team concept of that program. So, you know, we're going to do everything we can. We know it's a formidable opponent. You know, we're 4A again 2 years ago with a really good team we had there 2 years ago. We got Bloomington Central, and that was a tough draw as well when they bumped us to 4. So, you know, we know what's ahead of us, and we know the challenge, but we're certainly excited about that challenge and ready to see what we can do.
Hutch, have you seen any film on Columbia? Who do they remind you of as far as somebody in the South Central?
Well, great question. You know, I think they're a very talented group. And they played a 4 and 5A schedule, you know, because they knew they were going to be 4A for a while. Their enrollment really, really rose. So they've been playing bigger schools for a while. They're a talented physical group. You know, I think you could probably put them in the Carlinville, Pena, Vandalia category where they're going to be physical and athletic and really come after you. So Maybe the best of those three, and throw Hillsborough in there, the best of those four teams combined. They're a really good opponent for us.
And, of course, playing in the South Central Conference, where every week you meet a formidable foe, doesn't hurt anything to help prepare you for the Week 10 playoffs.
Well, our conference for a long time, and we've made some deep playoff runs for a while, but our conference for a long time, I think, has prepared us for that. And people can say what they want about our conference, but I think it's solid. Up and down, it's well coached. We've got really good athletes in this conference, and I think week in and week out, you're challenged with the physical nature of the game and the X's and O's nature of the game. And I think our conference really prepares us for this time of year.
Hutch, you go into the game with a record of 5-4. Did the Comets this year? Did they underperform? Did they overperform? Where did it come down this season?
Well, that's a great question. I think if you look at two of our four losses, I think we lost by a total of 3 points. You know, Hillsborough beat us by two. We had a chance to tie it with a two-point conversion. We missed a couple plays in there. We didn't make a play on a ball in the end zone, and then we missed a guy near the end of the half on a potential touchdown. And then this past game against a really good Vandalia team, you know, I thought we let one go there. We lost by 1 point. And, you know, we could very easily be sitting at 7-2, but we're not. You know, those were games we used to win. We've got to find a way to overcome that. But I don't think we underachieved by any stretch of the imagination, not when you take the fact that we've been playing without our best two receivers, one of our top defensive linemen, and then one of our special teams slash backup receivers. So, you know, this group really, really gutted it out, I think. A gritty group that handled that adversity early and just fought like crazy to get to 5-4 and get back in the playoffs.
And you know, you have to tip your cap to the kids that step into these roles where the kids got hurt and help pick up the slack.
Well, you better believe it. You know, we're starting five sophomores on each side of the ball, and those kids should have been playing on Monday nights and helping us on Friday nights, and they get thrown right into the fire in a complicated offense and a new defense. And they performed well. Our seniors held it all together and provided some really great leadership and some stuff that our young kids can build on now for the future.
And, Hutch, I know you always talk about senior leadership and how important it is for the Comets program.
Well, I think it's the most important thing for our program, other than maybe the continuity of our coaching staff and how much those guys care. But you know, our seniors learn from the seniors of the past and the seniors before that and the seniors before that. I think they just, you know, there's a history here and a certain legacy that we like for our kids to leave behind. And our senior group this year certainly has picked up right where some of those other great leadership teams have left off. We're not nearly as talented as we've been in the past. You know, we've really run some great athletes out there on the field and they make coaches look smart. We know that. That wasn't us. That was our kids. And this year was, even though we're 5-4, that's because of the kids and the leadership and the grittiness that they showed all year.
And people forget that when the playoffs start, you might have been 5-4 in the regular season, but everybody's 0-0 at the start of the playoffs.
Well, Staunton proved that a couple years ago, went in 5-4 and played in a state championship game, and there have been other teams prove that as well. You know, once you kick it off Saturday, everybody's at 0-0, and you just got to go play your best football and see what happens.
And Hutch, playing on a Saturday afternoon, kind of a special feel. You know you're in a special time when it's a Saturday afternoon football game in late October.
I totally agree. You know, a lot of coaches like this week 10 or week 11. If they can play on Fridays, they like playing on Fridays to keep it normal. You know, I'm the opposite of that. I don't like to keep it normal. This is a special time of year for kids, and it is a different feel, and the playoffs aren't normal. So I like switching that over to Saturday. You're going to eventually anyway. So I like week 10, I like for that to be on Saturday and for there to be a different feel, a playoff feel, and just that whole playoff environment's awesome. You know, Saturdays are about football playoffs, and we're excited to get the chance to be back in it this year.
Joining us on the road to Champaign is Tim Crotterville, who is the head coach of the Pawnee Indians. Pawnee will be at home on Friday night against the Athens Warriors out of the Sangamo Conference. First off, Tim, congratulations, and really nothing new for Pawnee to be in the football playoffs.
Well, thank you. It's exciting, and obviously this is the first time for me as a coach, and it kind of brings me back to 1990, the first time that Mount Olive made it when I was playing. So I know what kind of excitement it creates in the community, and, you know, we're looking forward to hosting on Friday.
Tell us a little bit about the excitement that it does create in the school. I mean, not only are you the head football coach, but the principal, and you're going to see interaction amongst the students and just maybe an increased level of chatter about the football team this week.
Well, you almost liken it to homecoming week during the course of the school year. They're just, you know, a little bit extra excitement. Kids are excited. Obviously, the players are excited as well. You know, in a small community, everybody rallies around the school, and especially a football program and a good football program like we've had the last couple years. So, you know, the key is to keep everybody, especially the players, grounded so that we can get ourselves prepared so we can hopefully go out and get a win on Friday.
Tim, you come into the ball game with a 7-2 record. Did you meet the expectations you had going into the season this year?
Well, you know, you go into any season hoping to win every game, and obviously to win a conference championship, and it's hard to look at a 7-2 season and think that it's a disappointment by any means. You never know coming in as a new coach how the kids are going to react to the new regime. Even though we did keep a lot of things the same, they're day to day activities are still going to be different. It just doesn't matter who the coach is. And you know, I'm very happy with the way we came together. You know, we had a little bit of adversity there in the middle of the season, losing to Kincaid, obviously, and then losing a very tough one, Alt Marquette, at the end. So, you know, I'm very happy with the way that we came out and played this year. Yeah, it would have been great to be 9-0 and win a conference championship, but you know what? The kids responded every time we kind of got down, and, you know, I'm proud of them.
Well, Pawnee got a number 7 seed. You drew on number 10, Athens, and, of course, Athens coming out of that Sangamo Conference, that's not an easy draw, is it?
It isn't, and you know, it's interesting. About 3 weeks ago, it started to look like this is who we could possibly get. And, you know, once you get playoff time, records really go out the window. They kind of liken it to when I coach baseball, and you be a number 1 or number 2 seed and get upset by somebody who's a lower seed. It's just a whole different ball game, and everybody, regardless of the record, are amped up on a Friday or Saturday afternoon, ready to play. So, you know, we've got to be ready to go. They obviously had a very tough schedule, very tough conference, but they're a lot like us. They like to run the ball. They run a double wing formation. They'll pass the ball a little bit. So, really, it's like looking in the mirror playing Athens on Friday. So, hopefully, we're ready to go. And, you know, we come out with a W.
It's so cliche, but if you take care of the football and do what you guys can do and do it well, you'll win the ball game. I mean, it's just that's what it boils down to, the fundamentals.
Exactly. And, you know, unfortunately, from different times, of course, of this year, we've come out a little flat early on. And, you know, you continue to try to tell the kids that, you know, we got to be ready to go at the opening kickoff. And that happened a little bit again against Nokomis on Friday night, just who came out a little bit flat. And, you know, you get the postseason, we can't make those type of mistakes. So hang on to the ball, and hopefully good things will happen.
Tim, as you drop on your memories of being in a playoff football game, this, you know, a lot of things go on during the week, and you remember as a student, you have to kind of put some of that stuff just out of your mind and just really focus on the football game itself.
You do, and you can get wrapped up in the hype, and, you know, I've got obviously a dual role as a coach and a principal, you know, running a pep assembly on Friday, and it is very easy to get in the excitement of it. I mean, and you got playoff T-shirts coming in, and you know, people from the community want to bring in treat bags, and you know, you go and have a team meal, and all those different aspects of things that are part of it, which are all great and definitely something you want as part of the experience. But when it comes down to it, we got to get ourselves prepared to be able to play on Friday.
And how important is it to have a home game in the opening week?
It is. And we played pretty well here. We've had great support again from the community. And even, you know, a Friday night game, I would guess we'd have a lot of support from the surrounding communities, because most teams do play on Saturday. So, you know, both teams are going to be amped up. I think it's going to be a great game against, you know, realistically, you look at it, this as a 7 versus a 10. You know, it's not really a 7 versus a 10. It's two pretty evenly matched ball clubs playing on Friday night, and, you know, it's going to be exciting.
There's got a lot of other football teams out there would love to be in your position.
I agree. And, you know, that's what I've tried to tell our coaches as we sit down. You never know when this opportunity is going to come again. And, you know, Pawnee has luckily been a little spoiled and under, obviously, Kit's regime, and he did a great job and all these playoff appearances. And, unfortunately, you know, people in this community remember in the 90s when we did make the playoffs. So we want to enjoy the moment because you just never know.
Tim Crotterville, the head coach of the Pawnee Indians, and they will be at home Friday night against Athens at 7 o'clock. To the other 1A matchups, just a quick reminder here, Greenfield Northwestern at Mount Sterling Brown County Saturday afternoon at 1:30. Calhoun will be at Arcola Saturday at 2, and Carrollton at Camp Point Central Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. In some 2A matchups, Shelbyville will be at White County, Carmi-White County, Saturday afternoon. Sangamon Valley will be at Bismarck-Henning. Red Bud will be at DuCoin, and Downs Tri-Valley entertains Rushville Industry, and Moroa Forsyth will be at home against Johnson City on Saturday afternoon. In the 3A matchups, the bottom half of the bracket, Auburn at Newton, Saturday afternoon. All these are Saturday afternoons with the exception of the Carlinville game, which will be a Friday night game at 7 with East Dalton Wood River at Carlinville. Other games on Saturday, Marshall at Pena, Hillsborough at Williamsville, that's a 1 o'clock game, Tolono Unity at Vandalia, and Beardstown at North Mac. And in 4A, the Greenville Comets will be at Columbia Saturday at 1, and something I thought I'd never see, the two Breeze teams playing against each other in an opening round game, Breeze Modern Day and Breeze Central.
I saw that on Saturday, and I thought, uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I'd never see in any sport whatsoever when they'd match up, the IHSA would match up two Breeze teams in the opening game.
The records and the playoff points happened to work out that way. That was a matchup that I had predicted because it's just, in 4A, it kind of all seemed to fall into place like that.
And some other 4A matchups, Civic Memorial at Rochester on Friday night.
Our buddy Mike Parmentier there.
Yeah. Right?
Good luck.
Good luck. Have fun,
good luck
Mike.
To the Eagles.
Taylorville's at Alton Marquette on Friday night and Carterville at Belleville Althoff. And they're going to play that at Lindenwood University.
So. All right.
Do you think Rochester's extra hungry this year after not making it to the state?
Them and SHG both.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Leonard boys.
Mm.
Dad and son. Yeah.
Quite the run they've had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've had a run.
That's exactly right.
And we're gonna start our run on the radio.
That's right. Friday night, Wood River is at Carlinville. We'll have it live for you, 7 o'clock here on WUSMI FM 106. Saturday afternoon, it'll be Hillsborough at Williamsville live at 12:45 on WUSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. And then Beardstown traveling to Vernon to take on North Mac. Also live coverage at 12:45 on WUSMI FM 106. We'll stream it all at WUSMIRadio.com. That is it for the Road to Champaign. We thank our sponsors for the program, for David Jenkins and Terry Tote. I am Tim Mize. The Road to Champaign is through.